We're your weather girls.
And do we have some poorly written fiction for you.
You better listen. Here's some stuff to look forward to this episode.
Why are they thinking as a math?
This is probably the best line in the whole novel.
Other kinds of murder are fine.
And so much more. Stay tuned. Welcome to episode 3 of It's Probably Raining Men. Last episode, we made it up to chapter 5, which saw these random generic boys fall from the sky, land on a heap, one on top of each other in the middle of the forest, and they just kind of bonded. They had a good time together, despite the circumstances, I think. And yeah, that we left on a very non-cliffhanger. Like, they just, like, walked through the forest. I don't know why we decided to break the chapter there, but we did. So that is where we pick up this week.
So we are here on chapter 6. It's Monday, June 25th, now 5:07 a.m. If you recall, we had some confusion with the timestamps last time, with kind of middle of the night being treated by our characters as still daylight hours.
Yeah,
maybe they've been transported very far north. And it's like day all the time.
We don't know that. That is very much a possibility. But let's see where chapter 6 takes us.
So we start. Felipe was a proud man. He did not like to admit defeat or give up his side of an argument easily. Unfortunately, it seemed that today was a day for him to change his habits, if only for a little while. He was close to telling everyone just how hopeless he thought their situation was, how lost he thought they were, how he thought that he might fall over from exhaustion any second now. He could keep his cool, though, right?
It's getting dark, Felipe. Don't you think we should stop? Asked Chris.
Wait, it's getting dark. Okay, sure. No, he responds. No, that's wrong. That's the wrong thing. I don't understand this. He just says no in all caps, and then there's a word beside it.
Cool, right? I think it's like a continuation of that. We were trying to be poetic about it, I think, right? Like, it was too obvious to say he said. We got creative.
Okay. We can restage this. He could keep us cool, right?
It's getting dark, Felipe. Don't you think we should stop? Asked Chris.
No. Wrong. Everyone looked at him in surprise. Was their self-appointed, full-of-himself leader finally understanding how badly this might end? What was really at stake? Their lives? Was he finally feeling the stress?
Where are they?
Why are they thinking as a mass?
It's already gotten to that point. Like, we're, like, past all the initial Lord of the Flies bullshit. Like, we're, you know, heads are coming off here. Like, this intense stuff right here. They've been walking for a couple hours at least, judging from the beginning of the last chapter. So, yeah, their groupthink is very much prevalent here.
Felipe took a deep breath. What I meant to say was, I think we should keep moving for as long as we can.
It's very nice and polite of him. Don't you think we should try to make a camp while we can see, instead of waiting for the dark? Martin insisted.
The rest of the group, Jack, Chris, and Justin, just a quick reminder, all murmured their agreement. Surprisingly enough, it was Justin who spoke.
You know, he's right. If we wait until nightfall and don't have anything ready...
A place to sleep, some firewood, something to drink or eat... interrupted Chris.
Then we will all be well and truly screwed, finished Jack. I remember this line. This is probably the best line in the whole novel. This is so good.
That was a real kicker.
We will be well and truly screwed. Oh my god, it's probably as close to swearing as we get as 11-year-olds here. We said screwed, and it's pretty bad.
Yep. Felipe shook his head at them. No, the longer we walk, the closer we will be to civilization.
Justin could see that Felipe would insist they keep walking and shook his head at everyone. Don't bother trying to explain the logic to him. He is too stubborn. He said, okay, Justin, bro. Stuck up, okay. Just because you read one book doesn't mean you're a genius. Justin was good at picking up signs from a person's body language and attitude. Not from the thing that he literally just said.
Okay. Wait, what did you say? Felipe said threateningly.
Nothing, Justin answered, reverting to his usual shy, antisocial personality.
Oh. It better be nothing.
Whoa.
Things are getting really aggressive over here.
They're men, okay? You can't blame
them right.
For this flare-up of testosterone. It's really not their fault. The five of them walked in silence for an hour or so before Jack, ever the kind soul, tried to strike up a conversation with Felipe. Jack assumed that Felipe wouldn't be happy taking... It says taking. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to say talking.
I think it's talking.
Yeah, Felipe wouldn't be happy talking about serious things like, how had they gotten here? Or, where were they? So, he chose a lighter topic.
So, Felipe, what would you say is your favorite sport?
Felipe whirled around at the sudden question, almost tripping over his own feet. But he was very clearly excited to answer the question. If the brilliant smile on his face was any indication. So sports, huh? And this man trips over his own feet. He's clearly not very good at sports if he can't turn around without falling.
Well, my favorite sport is either baseball or basketball, but I'd have to say that I'm better at basketball.
Cool. I'm not a very sporty person, but I could never say no to a good game of one-on-one basketball.
Felipe grinned. Is that an invitation?
Why not?
Deal. I'll play against you and beat you. When we get back, of course. And just like that, the light, joking atmosphere was lost.
What a weird exchange. Okay.
Kind of flirty.
I'm glad you're picking up those vibes, too.
Yeah.
About this. Maybe that's how we solve the five guys, four girls problem. All right, something to look out for. Felipe and... Who was it? Jack. I ship them.
No. You know why? Because it has to be Jack and Jill.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that. That I remember. Wow, spoilers.
foreshadowing.
All right, so they just had their little sexual tension happening. And a few minutes later, Felipe pointed to a bright orange tent. Oh my God! He yelled in a very feminine manner. Whoa. Who were we? Why did we do that?
I don't know why we said that.
God.
A tent means, began Justin.
Civilization, whispered Chris.
We're on our way home, baby, said Martin, doing a little jig. I love how they talk with each other. Like they're not talking to each other. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, all of you, honestly. Thank you so much. Thank you for your little jig, too. Jack walked up to the man standing outside of the tent cautiously. He really hoped this man wasn't crazy or a psychopathic murderer.
Other kinds of murder are fine.
Psychopathic murerers? No.
No, thank you.
Hi, sorry to bother you, sir, but do you know where we are? Jack asked.
Very weird question to be approached with. We are in Finger Lakes National Forest in New York. Why? You should know you're here, aren't you? The man looked at them suspiciously.
Smart one. He's a smart man. Definitely not a psychopathic murderer.
Me and my friend here had a bet about the name of this place, and we needed someone who knew for sure. Thank you. Then, in a lowered voice, you just helped me win 10 bucks off of this guy, Felipe offered.
The man chuckled. Jack was astounded. Those had been some pretty impressive improvisational skills, or lying skills. Same thing. He really hoped he did not actually owe Felipe any money.
We were clearly writing these guys with the intelligence of our 11-year-old selves.
Clearly. Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Just like, wow, that guy lied on the spot. That's amazing.
It's astounding.
Astounding.
A whole other level outside of amazing. It's astounding. Wow.
Hey, boys, I'm Roger. Do you guys need a lift out of the park? I'm leaving just as soon as I take the tent down.
Again, Felipe stepped in. Would you mind if we ask you to drive us to the exit and show us a map? We're completely lost in this city. I need to get back home as soon as possible. What
city? Not a city.
Finger Lakes National Forest. That's like, oh, I don't know, upstate New York. Also, how are these 5 + 1, 6 people going to fit in a car that was originally just bringing Roger?
Thankfully, Roger did not ask any more questions. He nodded. Sure. Can you boys just help me with the tent?
I like this Roger guy. He seems nice. I hope he doesn't turn out to be a psychopathic murderer. All five of them helped the man pack all of his things into his truck. They helped him pack up the tent, fold the tarp, and climbed into the back half an hour later.
So this was inspired by our camping trips with our families.
Oh, yeah.
Because you pack up the tent, you fold the tarp, and you pack it into the car.
Oh, yes. And I like that we had to be very, like, explicit about this. Like, we know camping. We're
yeah.
Campers. We know what we're talking about, okay?
Just in case you thought we didn't know what we were talking about.
We know.
By calling this a city.
You need a tent, and you need a tarp for camping. We know that. We know that. Even though we just said he packed all of his thing, but we just had to make sure. We had to make sure that they didn't forget the tent.
They drove along the narrow road for a few minutes before Roger stopped the car. He came around to the back looking apologetic. He rummaged through a few bags. Sorry, I gotta go do something. He grabbed a bag filled with a shovel, some toilet paper, and something else more dangerous. The boys did not know that. They just nodded. He went to go to the bathroom, supposedly.
Oh, I feel like we're giving away too much as writers here. Again, with the show don't tell, we're very much tell.
Mm.
Don't bother showing, just tell straight up. A few minutes later, they heard rustling and turned their heads to where it was coming from. Roger walked out of the shadows. He was holding his bag in one hand, and the other was tucked behind his back. The boys thought nothing of it, until he pulled out a gun.
Let this be a lesson. If you survive, my boys, don't talk to strangers. Oh, sorry, Roger whispered.
He just said it to himself.
How is he whispering this? Let this be a lesson. If you survive, my boys, don't talk to strangers.
I love ASMR, Roger. That is, I like it.
He was ahead of his time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I like his, like, planning, though. He went to take a shit. He decided to murder. He didn't murder before. He thought about it. He was very pragmatic about it. He's like, I can't shoot people if I have to take a shit.
First rule.
Wow.
Wow. This took a turn.
See, this is a good spot to leave it as a cliffhanger. Now we open with chapter 7.
Monday, June 26th, 7 p.m.
So this is the next day evening. No. This is the same day, but
even. This is where we left off the girls, yeah.
Yes. Oh, God. At 7 o'clock sharp, Brooke, Jill, Jenna, and Kieran, in case you forgot their names, met at Love Cafe, one word, on Madison Avenue in downtown New York City. Again, with the over-specificity. Brooke and Jenna came first and ordered everyone grande mocha coconut cappuccinos. You know that you're not at Starbucks. Like, are they aware of the fact that you can't just order a grande whatever whatever at a regular coffee shop? Or maybe no. These are like non-copyright Starbucks mocha coconut cappuccino.
I don't even want to know what that tastes like.
We also definitely did not know like what that possibly could have meant. Like, I didn't know what a cappuccino was. It just sounded fancy. It's like coffee, okay. Fancy coffee. A man and woman, talking in quiet voices, took their favorite table closest to the window. Brooke and Jenna sat at the table beside them, should be them, also by the window, but without such a great view. Just the other table, like, what? What? Kieran and Jill walked in a, should be at, nobody proofread this. They walked in at 6:03 and took seats opposite Brooke and Jenna. It's 7 p.m.
It's what? 7 p.m. and have they managed to order, get their drinks, and sit in 3 minutes?
What?
In New York City?
Clearly unrealistic. But again, what did we know? Also, I'm really glad that we know exactly who sits where. I think it's really important for the visualization of it.
Very important. Especially because these girls all look so different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jill took one look at Brooke and the shirt that she was wearing and pursed her ultra-thin lips. Clearly, it was 2011 when thin lips were a thing, I guess.
Before the Kylie Jenner challenge.
Oh, yeah. Ages before that. This was prehistory. And yes, if you'll remember, after, I don't know, 4 maybe, Jill and Brooke are wearing the same exact shirt.
There's only one off-the-shoulder black kind of shirt.
Yeah, clearly. And they just had the unfortunate luck of wearing the same one on the same day. Crazy.
I'm going to the restrooms. I'll be right back, she said through clenched teeth.
What's with her? Asked Brooke, taking a sip from her coffee.
Did you see what you guys are wearing? Jenna nearly yelled.
Dramatic, okay. Crap! But it's not my fault that she changed in the last minute, said Brooke. I saw this in Fashionista this morning.
Brooke, she's going to kill you! Kieran screeched so loud, the couple beside them turned to see what the matter was.
That's a weird sentence.
Sorry, she whispered to the couple. Brooke's going to kill you. What were you thinking? She told us this morning, she whispered to Brooke.
So, no, should be now. So now, I can't have a life now? Asked Brooke angrily.
Yes, but it's best not to get on Brooke's bad side. You know how she gets. Wait, what? We meant Jill.
We definitely meant
yes. Jill. But it's best not to get on Jill's bad side. You know how she gets, said Jenna sympathetically.
Humph, whatever. Here comes Miss Bossy Pants, said Brooke. You know how 23-year-olds generally talk to each other.
Bossy. Hey, I'm sorry. They all know why Jill has this weird thing about clothes. And they've all agreed to call each other every morning.
Yep.
Oh, I don't understand why she's so angry. Also, haven't they all just got promotions? Like, chill out. Ride the good vibes.
Relax.
Jill came out of the restroom with a new shirt on. This one was purple, short-sleeved, and had "What I want, I get" written across it.
Yep. Yep.
That portrays her perfectly, mumbled Brooke.
Jill pretended not to hear and sat down beside Jenna. She hoped none of her friends could tell that she was really hurt that Brooke thought of her that way. Why'd she wear the shirt? Like, what? I feel like this is entirely on Jill. All Jill really wanted was to be accepted by her friends And hearing something like that from someone she constantly tried to impress cut her deep. Everyone stared and waited for her outburst. Jill broke the silence after a few seconds. What? You're looking at me like I just lost a limb or something. She giggled, and everyone else followed nervously. You know, nervous giggles. At that moment, a short, blonde, freckled woman walked through the door. Brooke stood up to hug her.
Everyone, this is Erica Griffin, my colleague, she said, and introduced Erica to everyone. Are you gonna do the accent?
Oh, God. Hey, girls, she said in a British accent. At the same moment, Mark walked into the store. Didn't I say it was a cafe?
Yes.
He looked around and spotted the five girls at their table.
We were just leaving, Mark. You just missed us, said Jill in mock sympathy.
Can I join you? Mark, was that a good enough
Southern? I liked it. Sorry, we were just headed to the lingerie store, Jill began.
I'm going to leave. As much as I love panties and stuff. Ew. Mark chuckled nervously. I've got a stuff to do, he said awkwardly.
I hate this.
What? Ew. Ew. Erica giggled at his failed attempt at making a joke. I don't think that was a joke. I think it was just him being weird. I don't know. Jill cut her off.
We were just finishing up here, she said to her boyfriend.
Goodbye, said Erica.
But I thought you were Ukrainian, stuttered Mark. Jill pushed him out the door and shooed him off. See you later, pumpkin, she said.
When Jill sat back down at the table, the girls were giggling. Wait. So they were all sitting at the table. Mark walks in, and she's like, nah, and then like pushes him out the door, and then just goes back to sit with her friends. And they're sitting right by the window, too. Doesn't Mark see that they didn't, like, follow him out? That they're still sitting at their table, deliberately not wanting to talk to him? Ooh.
Poor guy.
That is cuts
deep. I'm still team Mark.
Except why does he think she's Ukrainian?
Because remember she was saying, oh, we're meeting our friend who's going to Ukraine, or something like that.
That's true. But you can't be Ukraine if you're not Ukrainian.
Yeah, that's right. He clearly doesn't think so.
Mark's
not a worldly man.
That seems to be the case. Okay, so Jill sat back down. The girls were giggling. Why don't you just dump him, Jill? Poor guy. Does he really think you love him? Asked Jenna through giggles. It's horrible.
It's really bad. So naive, Jill answered.
And why does he think I'm Ukrainian?
Long story, Jill said, and burst into giggles. After a sip of coffee, the girls looked at each other.
Okay, are you ready? We have to pretend to be five voices at the same time, but it'll be just us two, so we'll have to just imagine. Imagine there's three more of us, ready?
Three, two.
You'll never
guess what
happened today.
That was really difficult.
That's a weird thing to say all at once.
You'll never guess what happened today, said Jenna, Brooke, Kieran, and Jill at the same time. That caused another wave of giggles, and they started to get strange looks from people inside and outside the store. Coffee shop,
yes. And they also seem to be constantly giggling. I feel like they're just, like, it'd be so annoying to be this poor Erica girl and, like, being brought to their table and just have them, first of all, say things together and then just giggle incessantly. Oh my yep. God, I would not want to join this friend group.
No. So, who wants to go first? Jenna? Asked Kieran.
What a teacher thing to say. So today, my boss called me into his office. He promoted me to head journalist for the G20 summit. Okay, I think she's exaggerating. I think he was just like, write a story. And now she's like, head journalist. Okay, Jenna, you need to stop lying. I'm in charge of this one for the first time. He also wants to keep me full time. The Gore Girls, brackets, Erica had gone to the restroom, burst into cheers.
Erica went to the restroom while they were giggling.
Yes.
She was like, this is too much.
This is too much for me. I cannot. My posh British friends would never.
No, yeah. My Ukrainian friends either. Something similar happened to me too, but my boss made me the head photographer for the charity fashion show in Central Park. She also wants to keep me full time. The girls squealed in delight again.
God. You can tell that we didn't really have many ideas about good things that could happen in one person's day. So we just kind of plagiarized ourselves like 5 times. Something happened to me too, but it wasn't so elaborate. Today, a little boy named Josh made me cry. The other 3 girls collectively gasped. No, not in a bad way. It was his last day in the city, and he said that I made his time with no video games, brackets, that usually would have been torture, the best ever. We never closed that bracket. Also, he got a kiss from a girl after he expressed his love to her. How easy it was 15 years ago. The 4 sighed just as Erica returned. Weird.
So they've giggled at the same time, spoken at the same time, gasped at the same time, and now sighed at the same time.
Yes. They are, in fact, one person.
One of us. One of us. One of us.
And now poor Erica's back. What did I miss? Erica asked in her British accent. The other 4 quickly filled her in. I'm hoping they left out the sighs and the cheers and the whatever else they were doing at the same exact time, because she would have been freaked out.
So what all started as a normal day, Jill began, turned very abnormal. I met a fashion designer. And first of all, was totally hot. He was totally hot, I presume. Second, he wants me to be in his next fashion show.
Hey, are you sure? Is he gay? Asked Erica, quizzically.
What? Is Erica being mean?
She's being quizzical.
she's like, are you sure? He must not have been into you, though. So Erica asks this question. Jill says, yes, I mean, no, he's not gay. Well, as far as I could tell, but his name's Frederick. On his card, it says that he has an internship with Chanel for the summer as a fashion designer.
Wait, pause. First of all, Jill has a very fine-tuned gaydar.
Yes.
To appear. She just knows. She literally spoke one sentence to this guy, and she was like, yeah, he's straight. He's definitely straight.
He told her she looked terrible. Well, she looked good, but her outfit was terrible. Like, not much to go on.
This is something a straight guy would say. I don't know why we need to do this, like, typecasting.
No.
Anyway.
Unnecessary.
Second of all, this man has a business card.
And on his business card, it says where he's interning.
Yeah. And also, as an intern, he can just, like, recruit people off the street to, like, join his fashion show.
Makes no sense.
I feel like it doesn't work like that.
Anyway. Oh, here it comes. On his card, it says that he has an internship with Chanel for the summer as a fashion designer. And that he's going to be showcasing his designs at the upcoming charity fashion show. When I get home, I'm going to Google him just to make sure. And why do you assume all male fashion designers are gay? I mean,
yes.
No straight ones come to mind, but I bet there is. Bad ally.
Oh,
that's not a good ally.
Bad ally, indeed. I'm on it.
I just saw it too.
I can't. Oh my God. I'm on it, said Brooke, and whipped out her U phone.
Oh,
I remember this. I was really afraid we were gonna get like copyrighted for some reason. I knew what that was because, like, you know, on like YouTube, those like songs are taken down all the time because like copyright, whatever. But yeah, so I really did not want us to get copyrighted.
Like, I don't know. New phone it is.
Yeah, I didn't want Apple to come hunt us down. So I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna change the I to a U. And now we have communist iPhones. That would have been Wii phone, actually, but this is close enough.
Love it.
Jill handed her Frederick's card. Erica shrugged and took another sip of coffee. Yeah, you're right. He's an intern there, she said after clicking a few buttons. So how was your day, Erica? Brooke asked without looking up.
You know, same old, Erica answered. What time is it?
I have 6:54, said Kieran. Of course she's one of those. Of course she's one of those that tells you the exact minute. I mean, also say the
they met up at 7 on the dot. Didn't they?
Yeah, they met at 7 on the dot. But then we went back in time so that Kieran and Jill could join them at 6:03.
Right.
And now, I guess, I don't know.
6:54, fine.
6:54.
Maybe it was like a daylight savings kind of situation.
Yes, daylight savings hit in the middle of, like, at 7:01. It just reverted back. Same, Jill and Jenna said.
I don't know how to do this in a British accent. Oh, crap. Oh, crap. I have to go. My boyfriend's meeting me at 7:15 and I can't be late.
Bye, Erica. It was nice meeting you, Karen said and waved.
Bye, guys, and see you soon, Erica said and went out the door. As soon as the door shut behind her, Jenna spoke up.
So, Jill, what's up with you? Asked Jenna.
Jill pretended not to notice, but after a while she answered.
I've been reading your magazine. Wait, doesn't Jenna work at the New York Times? Did she just call the New York Times a magazine? Yikes. So I've been reading your magazine and they say that stress causes wrinkles. So I'm trying to frown less, she said. That's why I always carry an extra pair of clothes handy just in case someone has the same clothes as me.
I need to get one of those books, said Brooke, and they all laughed.
What?
What? What a weird thing to say.
What happened? yikes. Yikes. That was weird.
After the girls finished their coffees. Is that how you spell coffee? I think it is. After the girls finished their coffees, they took a short walk down Madison Avenue. Have you guys been having strange dreams lately? Like, that our reigning men wish came true and men really did fall from the sky and look for us? Asked Kieran.
As much as I wish I could forget about it, I can't, Brooke said, and everyone agreed.
It's not like we're genies. There's got to be some logical explanation for us all having the same dreams, said Jenna.
I could book us an appointment with a psychiatrist, said Jill.
That's a good excuse for spending. Why? That's a good excuse for spending $100,000 for taking a nap, said Kieran. What?
There is no need to shit on the entire field of psychiatry. That was so uncalled for. Kieran, what do you do? You're a babysitter, okay? Literally shut up.
Also, it's definitely not $100,000.
You definitely don't take a nap either. Yeah, we had a very poor understanding of psychiatry, I guess. And so do 23-year-old adults. Touché, said Jenna.
It'll pass, don't worry, Brooke said as they arrived to their cars. Don't forget, tomorrow at my place, she said. How could they forget? The 19th anniversary since they all met. Not true. Not true. One of them joined later.
That's true. So they're just celebrating their 19 years of friendship.
And then maybe it's like they've known each other for like 5 years because they met in high school, but it's like there's like four of them.
That seems logical. I feel like that's definitely something we would do.
Oh, too good. Okay, good. We're on chapter 8.
Okay, we have to read chapter 8. I can't. We can't just leave the boys just like...
Oh, absolutely not. Where are they? What's up with them?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Chapter 8. Sunday, June 25th. 4:27 p.m.
Wait, did we go a full day back?
Yes.
Wait.
But it's the same date.
Our timestamps suck. So we left off the boys. It was Monday, June 25th, 5:07. So it's around like 6 or 7-ish in the morning. They were just about to get shot by this guy. I don't know, just like a psycho. And
Roger.
And now we went back in time, and now it's Sunday, June 25th, instead of Monday, June 25th. And it's 4:27 p.m. So yeah, we have gone back an entire day.
Back. Fine. That's okay. I'm sure that would be well received by readers.
I'm sure no one would notice, honestly.
Go ahead.
Roger, said Felipe, so scared that he was stuttering. The man was slowly advancing, pointing the gun in their general direction. So not even at them, just kind of vaguely around them. His mind was whirring, trying to find a way out of this.
Keep talking, Felipe. Distract him, muttered Martin from the side of his mouth, much like a ventriloquist. Then Martin addressed the other boys. When I say go, jump out of the truck, duck, and run for the trees. Don't stop until you can't see the truck anymore. Stay where you are, and I will find you, he said.
He's definitely seen a couple action movies in his life. I've got you cornered, boys. Where... What are you gonna do about it? Mocked Roger, his eyes taking on a slightly psychotic glint. They're not cornered. They just like stopped in the middle of a street in the forest. They're the opposite of cornered. There's so many places they can go right now.
There's also one of Roger and five of them. Literally. He does have a gun, but Felipe, ever the dramatic actor, flung his hands up in mock despair. No, Roger, please don't hurt us. We just want to get home. Felipe knew better than to start crying. It would cloud his vision for later, when he would have to run through the forest.
Smart. He's a smart one.
Roger bought the act.
Semicolon. Well, I'm sorry. No can do. The hand holding the gun had dropped. And he was mocking Felipe. Please don't hurt me, oh kind and good sir, he squeaked.
Is this Monty Python? Like, it's so silly.
Yes, gun-wielding maniacs generally do mock the people that they're gonna murder.
Martin saw the opening and whispered, go!
They all jumped off of the truck and miraculously landed on their feet. Yeah, they jumped. They didn't dive head first off the truck. They didn't, like, roll. They didn't backflip. Of course they landed on their feet. They ducked, as Martin had told them to do, and saw his point when a few bullets screamed over their heads. Oh, like, saw Martin's point. Okay, that makes
kind of... Very strange writing.
Martin made a gesture that they all took to mean, go! And they all ran, narrowly missing a new wave of bullets. They ran for the forest and wove through trees, occasionally tripping over a tree root or fallen log. They heard Roger chasing after them, and after a few moments, they heard him yell, "Rotten kids!" and walk back to the truck. Back in my day, kids would just lie down and let me shoot them. Not these bad children.
Wait, let's recap. They jumped off the truck.
Yep.
They almost got shot, but they ducked.
Yep.
Then they ran upright. through some trees?
But they ran together, too. They didn't, like, scatter. They didn't split. They just ran as a
And also, there's, like, waves of bullets hitting, like, aimed at them. I want to know what, if anything, you knew about guns. I don't think that's how guns work. But maybe I'm wrong. In the age of automatic weapons, who knows? But Roger, man.
So they heard the engine start and the truck pull away. They were all thankfully close to each other and no one was missing. They were panting heavily.
I'm so stupid, moaned Felipe. How could I think that a random guy in the middle of the woods wasn't a crazy murderer?
I don't know. People who go camping aren't generally crazy, murdery people, even though they do tend to camp out in a forest.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Felipe. We all make mistakes, comforted Jack.
Amazing.
Felipe on the shoulder. Thankfully, we had Martin here to make a plan.
Justin turned to Martin. Thank you. You saved our lives, he said. Chris high-fived him. Yeah, dude, we wouldn't be alive right now without you. Your weird talking without moving your lips thing and your plan. Genius, by the way. I would never have thought to duck in case he immediately starts shooting.
Have you not seen, like, a single movie?
No.
Just, like, one movie.
No.
Any one movie, and then you would know that you just need to duck.
No reading, no watching of movies.
Martin shrugged, blushing. I watch a lot of TV, he admitted with a smile. Nice, my man. TV is educational. Yeah, man. Thank you, said Felipe. They all turned to stare at him.
What? Asked Martin, shocked to hear the words thank you come out of the self-centered man. Ew, that's so weird.
I said thank you. Now don't make me repeat it again, Felipe said. Now let's follow the road. We'll eventually find our way out of here.
Dark, complained Chris.
Deal with it, answered Felipe, taking up the lead again. They walked along the path until the moon was high in the sky. Wow, there's some chonkers of paragraphs coming up. A lot of, like, weird description. Okay.
Wait, I want to know how big are the Finger Lakes National Park? Because they've been walking for, like, a day.
That's a very long time to walk.
Like, let's say it takes you 12 hours to cross the park, but I don't think it takes you a day.
Unless they were walking, like, along, like, the length of the Finger Lakes. Like, I imagine the Finger Lakes are just, like, long and skinny, right? Like, what if they had started at the end of it, but they didn't know? So they just, like, picked one direction and walked and ended up now at the other end of the park. That is a possibility. They don't seem to know much.
No, they just headed west.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
So it gave Felipe a long time to think about what had just occurred. His life had been in danger. Real danger. It had been a matter of life or death. And thankfully, Martin had thought quickly, and it had helped them stay alive. He had no illusions that Roger had been joking or bluffing. Two different things. The man had looked well and truly crazy. He had a gun! Being a tough guy, he had never thought that a piece of metal would look so intimidating. But training in hand-to-hand combat was useless if he was up against a gun. He knew that he would always remember this. He would, from now on, always be cautious with strangers. The man had been true to his word, at least. This was a lesson. A very traumatizing way to understand it, but ensured that it would stick.
Unnecessary reflection, in my opinion. Chris watched the back of Felipe's head, wondering what was going on in there. Philip had thanked Martin, and it hadn't looked too hard. However, immediately after, he had gone back to being an annoying, full of himself loser. Chris believed that Felipe could be a good guy. He just needed someone to push him in that direction. Someone who could make him open up, be more approachable, and someone to pop the huge bubble that was his ego. He needed a girlfriend.
I feel like all these guys are kind of kind of a thing for Felipe. Like, this is the second one already.
They're, like, contemplating him. I also want to know what we think a girlfriend does if it's, like, helping someone open up, be more approachable, and burst their ego. Like, strange, but fine.
You know that meme where there's, like, that big tank of water and, like, the guy, like, slaps, like, a piece of tape on it or something? Mm-hmm. Like, all these are all his problems, and we seem to think that the girlfriend is that tiny little piece of tape.
Yep. Oh, man.
Jack was in shock. Back in his younger days, he had gone on camping trips where he'd encountered bears and it had been in fights with other boys. Side note, we had seen a bear at one time when we went camping, and it was horrifying.
Scary AF.
However, he had never been as terrified as he had been when Roger had pulled the gun out. It had been a moment where his life flashed before him. It was foolish, but the thing that had stood out for him the most in those few moments was the fact that he had never had a girlfriend. Man, never been laid. He's really, like, regretting it. He's just, wow. He's, wow.
I feel like... Oh my god, fine, whatever. He's allowed to regret it, but geez, we really didn't think these guys had any internal lives.
Oh, no, no, not at all. They just had their sports and their book. That was it. That is all they had in their lives.
Oh yeah. Sports, book, and no girlfriend, but need yes. Girlfriend.
We really need girlfriend. Go bubble. He was a nice guy, people told him. Hopefully not a nice guy. People told him he was a nice guy. That's rough, actually. That's horrible. So why hadn't he ever had a girlfriend? I don't know. That's a good question. He wasn't afraid of asking them out. He had gone on a few dates, but the girls he had gone with were never interested in him. He was too good for them, they said. Huh. Right.
Huh?
What? What? Wow. I'm pretty sure we didn't know of the concept of a nice guy.
No, I don't think that.
I'm pretty sure we, like, nailed it, though. Like, we pretty much, we got it.
People tell me I'm a nice guy. So, like, why don't people want to date me?
That's a good question, Jack. That is a very solid question.
Just grapple with that for a little bit, bud. Martin was a bit proud of himself. All right, he was very proud of himself. His mom always told him what a good problem solver he was, how he could figure out any problem, any puzzle. He was more than glad that his problem solving skills had worked, even through the terror. He did not think he would ever forget the way his heart had felt like it would jump out of his mouth, how faint he had felt, how in his mind the only thing had been, get out of there alive. It had turned into a sort of chant, and it helped him take a grasp on reality and think. He had gotten them out. Without him, they wouldn't be walking like this. That thought made him smile, even though his legs were still shaking.
Wow, okay, so these other guys are all... So Felipe's thinking, I don't know, he has this whole, like, existential moment. Chris is bothering Felipe, and whatever that means. Jack is like, man, I don't never had a girlfriend. And Martin's like, my mom was right. She was right. She's a good lady. Justin was so scared that his teeth were chattering. He was the last in their little line, and he did not appreciate the darkness. He cursed his childhood friends who had filled his mind with stories of the Yeti, of monsters, of bears, of terrible animals that come awake at night. He was frightened. That was a huge exaggeration. What? I think we mean the opposite of an exaggeration.
Understatement.
An understatement, yes. He wished they would walk faster. If they did not find a light in the next 15 minutes, he was fairly sure that he would drop dead right then, right there.
A light! Yelled Jack. And Justin almost peed his pants from the fright.
Don't startle me like that, he said. And Jack looked at him apologetically.
I'm really sorry.
Justin nodded. Jack looked at him. Justin looked like he had just gotten the worst fright of his life. Yeah, I mean, he almost died, okay? Give the guy a break. His face was pale, his teeth chattering, and his legs seemed wobbly because Justin looked very shaky. It's a weird sentence. In other words, Justin looked like a gentle wind could blow him over. Ooh, that's poetry right there. That is a well-written sentence.
They walked to the little house, and there was a person inside. Thankfully, they were wearing a uniform, which confirmed that they worked here in the park. The woman looked them over and immediately started fussing.
Oh, you poor boys, come inside, warm up, she said, ushering them in and not listening to their sounds of protest. Did they not just learn their lesson about not talking to strangers? Literally, psychopath murderers can also wear uniforms. Nothing stops them from just buying a uniform and murdering poor, innocent boys in the woods.
She sat them down around the fireplace and demanded to know who they were, why they were alone, and why they looked like they had just seen a ghost. They told her the whole story, excluding the part where they fell from the sky, and her eyes steadily rose.
I don't know. What? Like, she was like started looking down, and then slowly, slowly, incrementally, degree by degree, ended up looking at the ceiling, I guess? I don't know.
I don't understand.
Maybe her eyebrows. I don't know. At the end of their story, she was shaking as well.
Oh, I have to call security, she said, rushing into the kitchen of the little house / cottage. She picked up the phone and reported everything to whomever was on the other side. When she hung up, she simply said, stay the night. I'll escort you home tomorrow. What are your names?
Didn't they already tell her? Literally, like, two paragraphs up, they already told her the names. Anyway. They told her. Her eyes widened fractionally. And she turned on the TV. She flipped to the news channel, and the police were just announcing the disappearance of 5 boys by the names of Justin Losa, Felipe Deslop, Jack Beanley, Martin Brown, and Chris Lawn.
Is that you? She asked. They nodded. All right, tomorrow morning it is. She left the room.
What? You see these boys on the TV and you're like, nah, it's fine. Just stay here. It's okay. I'm not going to murder you, I promise.
I'll escort you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, whatever.
That night, they slept on the floor. They were scared. The last time someone they did not know had helped them, they had almost been killed. But exhaustion took over. They had fallen from the sky, landed in a forest, helped a guy, almost been killed, ran from a gun, walked through the forest, and now had been offered a safe, hopefully, and warm place to sleep. Who were they to say no?
Okay, who were they? I don't know, like logical human beings, but anyway, well, that brings us to the end of chapter 8. I think that's probably... Yeah, it's probably good for now. I think we left them both at a good spot, both groups.
Time to let them rest, right?
Yeah, let them take their long nap.
So let's see. The girls got more annoying.
Yes.
The guys went through like a split second life-threatening danger.
But they ducked. They ducked and they ran. So they're fine. They're good.
Yeah. Like, not even for, like, spice did we have one of them get injured? No.
Not at all. We totally could have, though. That is a very much an idea that I don't think we ever even entertained.
No. Wow. So if we were to rewrite these little sections, how would you adjust our guy, our people, our characters?
The girls, I think that scene was entirely unnecessary. That whole, like, cafe scene. Did nothing to advance the story or didn't really reveal much about our characters either. They just kind of just made me more annoyed at them, you know, like they were just nothing happening. Erica, I do know that Erica does make a comeback. So maybe like the point of this whole little scene was for her to rear her head, make herself known that she's not Ukrainian, which is an important plot point. So yeah, for the girls, I'd just make them less obnoxious, I think.
Yeah, for the guys, I feel like we needed to get a handle over the time of day, first of all.
Yes.
And also, I don't know, make the things, like, paced better.
Yeah, oh yeah. Our goal was to write as many words in as little time. So I don't think we really cared for, like, the quality of the writing, really. It was just quantity over
time. Yeah, and we sort of just, like, would each write a part, so I feel like there wasn't even that much, like, coherence from, like, our two sides.
Yeah, completely. It was completely a mess. Though I will say that I did enjoy them almost getting shot by this crazy guy who, like, mocks them and, like, takes shit in the forest.
I want to know what his motive is. Because, like, I understand that sometimes bad people do things that are, like, along those lines, but they're usually planning to do it. He could not possibly have planned five guys.
Just pick them up in his truck and then, what, shoot them?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely would be interesting to see a little bit more of, like, his side of the story, like, draw that out a little bit. Maybe give him, like, a antagonist monologue in there.
Yeah, like, maybe he wants to rob them. Like, maybe they, I don't know. But why would he just want to kill them? Anyway.
What was he going to do? He just, like, kills five dudes.
I don't know, right? Leave them in the woods? That makes no sense. So our chapter 6 got this comment. This is getting really good. I'm so glad you have the next chapter up. Otherwise, I'd be really worried. Winky, like, semicolon, capital D. That was the chapter where the boys got caught by
Roger.
Roger. And then the same commenter left something about chapter 7. Keep up the good work. I can't believe anyone read that scene and said, keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate their encouragement. That is very nice to say to work that is clearly not great by any standards. But thank you. Thank you. That is nice.
I think we've actually reached the end of our comments. That's probably the last one that anybody left.
No.
Yeah. I think it would be funny if we uploaded more.
Oh my god, yes.
If we get any new readers.
Yes. We'll do it as we do these episodes, I guess we can go back and post these. and then people can see with their own eyes just how bad some of this stuff is. The random, like, semicolon use. Sometimes we just, like, don't put a period at the end of a sentence. Like,
we were zooming through.
Oh, yeah. Just speed typing left and right. There's, but yeah, okay. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with their 19th anniversary of friendship, which is a good thing to celebrate, but there you go. And yeah, let's hope the boys make it out alive. And then can we, like, finally get them to meet already? Like, it's been almost seven or eight chapters and neither of them know of each other's, like, existence.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hurry this up a little bit.
If I dropped from the sky, I would be way more distressed than these guys seem to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They fell from the sky and they were like, cool, I'm Felipe. I like sports. They had a little kumbaya circle. They just took it in stride, really. Like, they're like, whatever.
Totally chill. They're like, what?
Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to that football game and ended up here in the forest. Shrug.
Yeah, that's life. You know, life, shit happens.
Oh my gosh. I like the use of screwed loser.
Yes. What did Bossy Pants, Miss Bossy Pants?
Miss Bossy Pants.
Solid one. Also, I hope our accents get better as, like, more and more ridiculous stuff is said by these random characters.
Yes. I think we did fairly well.
I think so.
I mean, as somebody who doesn't know either the British accent or the Southern accent well at all.
Nope.
I think it sounded great.
I think we got our point across, which is all that matters.
Good stuff. So next time we'll be reading chapter 10 and onwards.
Chapter 9 onwards.
And
we've got so much more. We've got so much more to go through.
I feel like things are slowly getting off the rails.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
I'm very excited. So I can't wait. See you there. See you at chapter 9, Tuesday, June 27th, 6 p.m.
Yes, I cannot wait.
You know what, though? We didn't put the years. That's true. We think we're so sneaky.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Like, it's very clear what roughly year this was written in, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then let's see. The Capris. Just dance, too.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's episode 3, huh? Yeah, we'll be back, I guess, next week with chapter 9 onwards.